And the mayor's here with us this morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Juke, good morning to you.
And he can speak to Holland here or Holland in the Netherlands, whichever you want this morning.
Goedemorgen. Well, actually, probably they may say goedemiddag at this point.
So, goedemiddag.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, coffee tea.
Good midday, yes. Right, good. Yeah.
All right. So you took a visit over there?
We did, yeah. We just got back yesterday, last night. We took 10 days in the other Holland.
Yes.
They may not like us to say it that way, but you know, we here can talk that way. It was my daughter's first trip there, so that was great fun.
Yeah.
Well, we did all sorts of things. It was an action-packed 10 days. We got the chance to, we had lunch with a former consul general of theirs that was in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
years ago, and they retired, and we kept in touch with them, and it was wonderful, and got to see some interesting stuff with a former prime minister who's a friend, and saw the U.S. ambassador and the embassy, and just that thing. I think we got a call. But
yes, we do.
All right.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hey, before you get real busy, can I give some patio blocks away?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
What's the number?
392-9553.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
All right.
The mayor's here, and he will take your calls this morning. So our line's open for you.
Yeah, so we did that, and then we went up north into the province and city of Groningen, as we might say, or they might say, or something like that. And we have some extended family who we've kept in touch with a bit. So we had dinner with them one night and got to watch the Netherlands soccer game, the one where they unfortunately lost.
Yes, they did.
So we saw that one in that kind of the town square of the city.
John Carson sobbed over that one, I think.
Indeed, yes. I think he's close to being done sobbing now. But it was interesting. And in fact, if anybody had been watching the World Cup games, when the Dutch had played earlier games, they would show kind of a live shot of a crowd somewhere in the Netherlands. That's where we were. So we just happened to be in that area and thought, well, we'll watch the game at
that
spot. It is it's a pretty wild thing. They take it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
So let's see. We did that, and then we came back down. We went to a beach location for a bit, so we got to see that part of the Netherlands. And it wasn't terribly warm, but kind of fun. You can, you know, many of your listeners, I suspect, have been in that part of the world, and you can see how when Van Ralta got here, he found the water to be pretty similar to the North Sea, and the beach to be very similar as well. So you really feel at home in many ways, even with the topography. And let's see, what else did we had? That we finished the trip with just a wonderful day with actually some people from our Holland who have family there. Our friends here in Holland, Michigan, happened to be in the Netherlands at the same time we were, so we got together with them and some of their family in the Netherlands and took a canal tour for a day, starting in Utrecht and heading toward Amsterdam, and just really a remarkably great way to end our time there. So it was a fun trip. We did a whole lot of things. It was fairly relaxing at certain points. It was kind of the trip I had hoped to give to our girls to experience the Netherlands for the first time. So,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, it was great. But it's good to be back, too. That's one of the things that, you know, part of the fun of any vacation, wherever you go, is that it's always good to be back, and you like to get into your routine, and good to be home. And wow. I mean,
well, you missed the council meeting.
Well, that's true. So I didn't get that excitement, but our mayor pro tem, Bob Van de Vossie, I can't be gone that often because, frankly, when people get a chance to see Bob running meetings, they may end up preferring it, so we can't be gone too often for that. But no, Bob ran a good meeting, is my understanding. I talked to him this morning, and all went well.
Good. All right. Well, now that we've covered the Netherlands, how about the Holland, Michigan?
Yeah. Well, as I was jokingly saying to Juke and to Patty before our segment started, I said, you may know more about what's happening around town than I do these days. But I know the council last night approved the new sculpture that's going to be coming into the city of Holland, part of the bridge connects the north and the south sides. So that's good, and it's funded by private donations and people. I understand the fundraising for that is going well. So that's kind of an exciting thing for us to see happen. I just bumped into Sally Lakaitis a bit ago, and she said that their tourism numbers are exceptionally strong this year.
Isn't that something?
It's incredible. And even the cool weather, I think, has had some positive effect for some downtown merchants. You know, it's not so much fun to go to the beach when it's quite chilly, or at least not spend a lot of time at the beach when it's quite chilly. So a lot of those folks have been driven to the downtown area to do some shopping and eating, and the merchants there, of course, appreciate that. We celebrated the 10th anniversary of Street Performers. which is one of those things that when it started, you kind of thought, what's the big deal? It'll be fine. Well, quickly, it's one of those instances where, you know, I thought something and I thought it'd be fine. I thought it'd be okay. And I was completely wrong. It's just exploded. We've had 10 years of that, and it went from, you know, a few little acts that people would come and see to crowds that caused us eventually to have to close the streets because there's so many people. And now it has, you know, clearly become a part of being in summer in Holland. Part of summertime in Holland is to enjoy the street performers on Thursday nights. We've had 10 years of that, and congratulations to the folks who put that on. It's just great stuff. So, you know, weekly concerts with the Legion Band and Friday Night Concert Series. It's a great time of the year to be in Holland. And as we always say, at this time of the year, we get to live where other people choose to vacation. Now, we don't say that so much in February, right. but we do say it at this time of the year. No question.
Okay. Speaking of living, some questions about the fireworks.
Yes. Yeah. The fireworks situation is always an interesting one. A few years back, the state legislature and they passed a law that did a couple of things. One is it made legal certain kinds of fireworks that before then were not legal in Michigan.
Right.
You know, you used to remember right at the border of the Indiana-Michigan line, there'd be a lot of fireworks places because certain things were legal in Indiana that were not in Michigan. Shockingly, people would stop there and bring their things home on their trips back from Chicago. Well, now the legislature has changed the law so that a lot of that stuff is legal in Michigan, and they've had some good tax receipts from it. But part of the other thing that they did is they made it illegal for municipalities to prohibit the setting off of fireworks around federal holidays. Now,
right.
For us, frankly, it pretty much means Memorial Day, but certainly 4th of July and a little bit of Labor Day, the summertime federal holidays. The day before, the day of, and the day after those holidays. So let's just take July 4th. July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, local governments cannot prohibit the firing of these kinds of fireworks, whether you're on a small pre-World War II lot on 15th Street or whether you're on a 10-acre parcel somewhere in the country, has to be permitted. That has become a bit of a problem for us, especially in some of our more dense neighborhoods. And, you know, everybody loves fireworks on the 4th, but part of the problem is that they're fired off long and late, and it is not necessarily the most helpful thing for people who are trying to sleep or people who have small children or for people who have pets, frankly, that don't like the sounds of large-scale fireworks happening right next door or one block over. There's not a lot we can do. We have passed an ordinance that makes the firing of those kinds of fireworks illegal on days other than the day before, day of, and day after the federal holiday. So, for example, today it's illegal to fire off fireworks in the city of Holland. But it's a bit of an enforcement trick. You have to be able to locate where it is, and typically you don't fire fireworks off by yourself. You do it with a group of people. And if all you see is a group of people around there with fireworks, it's pretty tough to tell who's been lighting them unless, you know, you do some sort of stakeout, I suppose. But we have stepped up some of the enforcement things because it's one of those quality of life kinds of issues. But, you know, ultimately the kinds of fireworks that are sold and what can be done right around the 4th of July, for example, the state legislature has decided what that's going to be, and we are pretty much powerless to do any sort of regulation or any sort of prohibition, even in neighborhoods where it might not be the most pleasant thing to experience. So that's kind of what we're dealing with fireworks in the state of Michigan. I think that, you know, I've seen editorials from papers across the state that recognize that this is an issue. It's certainly not one that is unique to us in Holland, but especially in some of our urbanized areas. I think there was actually a Detroit Free Press article or editorial in the past week or so talking about the changes that have had, you know, some positive things and also a bunch of negative things associated with them. But that's kind of the status of fireworks at the moment.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning. I'd like to follow up a little bit on the fireworks.
Yes.
I had called in a couple of weeks ago about the possibility of fire on someone's house next door close to a neighbor who's doing it. And I just wanted to add, I wish we could do something to prohibit the continual use of these fireworks. I found so many bottle rocket sticks in my yard, and frankly, my neighbor gets a bunch of people together and they get very drunk, and it's very concerning to me, and they fire them off, not just on the legal holidays. The booms are as big as a bomb, and plus he's got a fire pit close to my house, and it's just very frightening. So I just wanted to add that. It's also a nuisance, the noise, of course, but I just don't understand why economically this is seen to be such a boon over possible fires and terrible accidents. Mm-hmm. So that's all, and I'll take any comments off the air, and thank you for addressing my concern.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. And if I'm assuming our caller lives within the city of Holland, and on a day like today, so anything outside those dates, around the 4th of July, for example, the shooting of fireworks, of anything, bottle rockets or whatever, is not legal. So if that's happening next to you, I'd say call the police, and they will come. But, yeah, it's some valid points raised for sure.
Okay. Good morning. And I guess we're not, haven't got a call there. Okay, 395-1450. Well, at present time, I believe there is in the legislature a movement to change the law.
If there is, I'm not really aware of it. Which isn't to say it couldn't be happening, but
right.
But I have not had not heard that.
Yeah.
So I know that they did tweak it a little bit of maybe a year or so ago. Initially, when the law was passed, it prohibited any sort of regulation by the local unit of government during those 3-day windows. So, for example, the way most people read it is we couldn't even put in any sort of time regulation, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, after, say, 11 or 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, we couldn't put in any sort of stoppage. So at 3 in the morning, the way it initially was written, we couldn't stop anything. Now, what the legislature has done is they've clarified that we can put sort of hours of operation, so to speak, into the regulation. But, you know, in the city, for example, it's 1 a.m. in the morning on those days, which corresponds with what the state law says. Still, you know, it's the toughest piece, I think, for most of us is not around the 4th of July, because we expect to have fireworks on the 4th of July. It's that nights like tonight,
yes.
or tomorrow night, or a Tuesday in August, or, you know, whatever it is when most people are living life. And that means going to bed at reasonable
right.
hours, to get up at reasonable hours, to get to jobs. It's putting children down. It's, you know, it's living life in a normal way. And when one person on a block decides to, you know, have a fireworks display, that has ripple effects that extend far beyond that individual property owner.
Right. We're here with the mayor, and 395-1450 is the number. If you'd like to give us a call and talk directly to the mayor, you can do that this morning. Our line is open for you. We were talking about fireworks, if you want to talk about that, or talk about streets or anything
sure.
like that. I was just trying to find out if the Blue Star Bridge is open yet. I don't think it is, according to the gentleman this morning.
Yeah, I don't think it is yet, and there's a bunch of work being done further down. If you've traveled 196 toward where it intersects with M40, half the roadway is closed from basically 16th Street heading further, I guess technically west.
Yes.
On 196. Part of that work that's being done is an interchange improvement at the M40-196 intersection. MDOT, the Michigan Department of Transportation, is doing that project. It'll become a kind of a circle on-ramp, so you don't have to turn left on M40.
Oh, yeah.
It should help with some of the traffic backup issues there. But that is that's a fairly major project that MDOT's working on, and should help, not completely alleviate, but certainly should help some of the M40 traffic concerns that have happened in
mm-hmm.
in that general part of the world. So, yeah, so it's that construction season, certainly in Michigan. And
oh, boy, we're having it good.
Yeah, although, you know, this year seems a little bit down in some ways. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, a couple years ago we had the Washington Avenue project, which was a major one.
Oh, that was big.
You know, a few years back we had Pine Avenue and River Avenue. Oh, that was, you know, those are some major, major arteries in the city of Holland that that seem to pop up. But we've addressed many of those.
Yeah.
And
I think Central Avenue will be...
Central Avenue probably next year.
Yeah.
I know we feel like a broken record saying probably next year. Part of it is a funding question. Central Avenue is not considered a major street, so that's not really eligible for certain kinds of granting and funding. So it's going to be much more local money. Part of it also is the fact that if we're doing Central Avenue, that's a major north-south artery in the city that has major infrastructure underneath it. And as we think about energy planning in the future and potential district heating options, that is a good spot to begin running some major pipes to transmit some of the hot water further south. But as with anything, there's a couple different ways to do it. One is a higher temperature, higher pressure water. One is a lower temperature, lower pressure water. And, of course, they don't work in the same pipe. So you got to kind of figure out which method you're going to go with because the pipe costs are not insignificant. And you don't want to bury the wrong kind of pipe, both from the expense standpoint and also having to then to dig it up later on and replace it. You don't want to dig up new streets.
Very true.
So hopefully next summer.
395-1450 is our number here. We want to talk to the mayor this morning. And we talked about several things, and I understand we bought a piece of property last night at the council meeting.
That's my understanding also. We at the DeGraff Nature Center site, the city got a grant from the Community Foundation of the Holland Zealand area, and essentially there's that house that is sort of kind of in front of the Nature Center. That will be that's the piece of property we're talking about. The house will be coming down. It'll be turned into more of a dedicated parking and natural area. We've been fortunate that Christ Memorial Church has been gracious and with the use of their parking lot, but you still have kids crossing over, primarily kids crossing over Grafskip Road, and the thought is it's really not an ideal situation. So as part of the improvement process of the Nature Center, this was a piece of property, but there were certain on council, me included, who weren't crazy with the idea of spending relatively large sums of money to create a parking lot, and ultimately some private donation will come in, the grant from the foundation, and it'll be a good project ultimately when it's done.
All right. So was this your vacation that you took in the Netherlands?
This was the vacation, yes. Yeah. Earlier in the few weeks ago, we traveled for a kind of a long weekend to northwest Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's grandmother turned 95, so we had a birthday party for her, and all of Leah's cousins came in, and aunts and uncles, and it was just it was a ton of fun, about a 13-hour drive. So between the long weekend to Sioux Center, Iowa, which, of course, is a top destination site for summer vacation, and the Netherlands, that pretty much that covers our vacation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of Dutch in you there.
Well, and, you know, who wants to leave this part of the world at this time of the year?
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yeah, I'm looking for a little help.
Okay.
This has been going on for about 3 months now. I have a car that sits primarily on 17th Street, west of from Raleigh, with a boombox. And that goes on almost 24/7. It's very annoying early in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's very loud. At times he sits on east side of 17th, right by our sunroof window, and it rattles the window. It's that bad. And I have, as far as I know, I have no solution from the police department. If they've done anything about it, it's still going on. And I'm wondering if the mayor could use a little influence and try to get a solution to that. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Before you hang up, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Have you called the police already?
Yeah. I called several times.
Okay.
And I give them times and everything. So, but the thing they got to do is, to me, is an unmarked car or set on 16th Street to hear it. Because if you drive by, he just shuts it off. And especially at night, I think the time he sits there is because there's no cars behind him. So he doesn't have to move.
So so this is happening right in the car on the street?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's not in the house?
No.
Okay. Could you do me a favor and either send me an email or give my office a call with maybe more of your address I'll follow up with the police department on that. Because there is, as you probably know, there's a noise ordinance
in town.
Yeah,
that's why I reported it.
Yep. And if you could call my office and just give them a little bit more detail as to the house address and that kind of stuff, I'll pass that along to the police, and hopefully we can get some resolution there.
Appreciate your help, Mayor.
Hey, my pleasure. That's a hassle. That's not fun at all. No question.
It isn't. And usually the police can respond to that and something can be done about it.
Sounds like this particular person may be a little wily, so to speak. If, if they see a car coming, they turn it down. Well, then it's pretty tough for the police to do a whole lot with it if they don't see it happening. But
well, I always figure what we should have is some type of noise thing that would, when it gets above a certain decibel, that it kind of melts the car down into a little puddle of metal.
Well, there you go. There's a business opportunity, Juke, you know?
Yeah. Maybe good morning. I'm here with the mayor.
In your retirement, Juke, you can do that, maybe.
Yeah. Yes, you're on with the mayor.
About a month ago, I called, I don't know if the city manager, the mayor, was on, about that ridiculous 30-mile-an-hour speed limit on River, northbound over the Black River. I wonder if you had a chance to look into that. I'll listen.
Thank you.
Well, my hunch is
that might have been
the city manager.
City manager.
It's the first I've heard of that. Couple things on, I'll say generally about speed, the setting of speed limits. It is set not by, well, technically it's set by a local unit of government, whether it's a city street, it's set by the city, if it's a county or, I'm sorry, a township road, or a road in the township, it's set by the county road commission. But we are not at complete liberty to set the speed limit amounts. State law says that we have to do certain speed studies that say within basically 85% of the people travel a certain road at a given speed. We have to set it at that amount. Otherwise, anything lower, for example, is unenforceable. Now, my hunch is that the caller might be thinking that 30 miles is too slow, but I don't know that for a fact. But this is the first I've heard of it, so I can't really give you any sort of update on that because I don't have any more information for you.
Okay. So I don't know how they judge that, but
There's ways that they do it, and there's ways to do speed studies, and we've got our traffic engineers can take care of this because we've had to do it in other places. And frankly, we've in some of our streets we've increased speeds, and people haven't been happy about that. So 32nd Street, for example, heading west, if as it goes past Old Orchard, it kind of dips down and comes back up. I think we increased the speed there by 5 or 10 miles an hour because of the speed studies, and people have said that's crazy. We've got to slow traffic down. And again, our answer is, well, the state says we can't. And frankly, the 85th percentile, now, believe it or not, the 85th percentile is the speed at which people feel safe. We drive at the speed at which we feel safe doing so, which is why you see, for example, as you come into certain parts of a community, ours, for example, things that are more wide open, you tend to feel safer driving faster. And as you move into more densely populated spots and the streets maybe get a little more narrow or there's more obstacles closer to the street, instinctively as drivers we say, you know what, I've got to slow down a little bit because it doesn't feel as safe driving faster. So this 85th percentile registers with the idea of this how safe people feel driving, and that's the way we have to set speed limits, not just by some group of people sitting around a table saying, well, let's set this at 40 and set that at 35. There has to be some degree of quote-unquote science behind it.
Your greatest deterrent to speed is a red light in your rearview mirror.
That the red and the blue ones together tend to...
Thank you very much for being our guest this morning.
Thanks,
Mayor.
Thanks, Juke. Always a pleasure.